Hello, how you doing? My name is Christy. I'm the pastor of the Elam Church in Brighton and New Haven, and it's great to be here. I want to thank Dave and Bev, who are very close friends of ours, for inviting me to share with you during this special series that Dave is going through on the book of Romans. And one of the things that you'd notice from me and Dave is our accents are different, because Dave is from the north of Ireland and I'm from the south of Ireland. And inevitably, because we're so close and we do so many things together, people often say to us, what's the difference between the north of Ireland and the south of Ireland? Well, it's more than accent, because actually culturally it's very different. It's like, you know, London and Newcastle. And so when I think about this verse that we're going to be looking at today in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I would say, a bit of a parody, and just by illustration, the difference between the north of Ireland and the south of Ireland can be found in this verse. Let me explain. The north of Ireland, when you go there and you go on a day out, you see signs. The wages of sin is death. Full stop. And when you go down to the south of Ireland, religion is a little bit different. It's, but the gift of God is eternal life. And for me, that kind of sums up the different cultural attitudes towards our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a parody and a generalization, but it helps us illustrate what I'm talking about today. The wages of sin is death, but there's no full stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life. And I'm a good news type of person. I like to bring good news, and there's no better news than the gift of God is eternal life. But you can't separate one from the other. And this is to all my Irish friends, north and south. As you can't separate Northern Ireland from Southern Ireland, you can't separate the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life. And so what does that mean? What does it mean in Romans 6, 23? Well, at its core, sin is rebellion against God. That's basically what sin is. It's doing things our own way. It's having our own understanding. It's being individual. It's the Frank Sinatra syndrome. I did it my way and not God's way. And that really sums up what sin is. You know, Jesus is the sustainer of life. And through God who created the heavens and earth, he sent Jesus to show us his way, his truth, and his life. And that's why in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the source of life is through Jesus Christ in God. And when we sin, we become separated from God. And sin has a payment. You know, the wages of sin is death. Wages is something you earn. You know, when you go to work, at the end of the week, the boss doesn't come and say, you know, remember the pay packets? Here's your pay packet. It's all wrapped with a little bow. There's a gift from you. And you say, gift? Oh, and you open up. It's not a gift. It's my wages. I've earned this. So when the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, it's something you earned. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not somebody else's problem. You have earned the wages of sin, which is death. When we look, death and taxes comes to everybody. And we talk about tax all the time. We complain about tax all the time. We have tax advisors. We go to accountants, and we have ways of avoiding taxes, and we have ways of not paying their taxes. But when it comes to death, nobody talks about it. And some of you will even feel uncomfortable talking about death now, listening to me talking about death. But yeah, it's inevitable. But the good news is you have a choice where you can choose life, because the wages of sin is death. You've already earned that. You're already going to get the payment of death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And that's what I want to focus on. I want to focus. Remember I said I'm from the south of Ireland? So we're focusing on the gift of God is eternal life. And God wants to give you life and life in all its fullness. But the problem that we have is that we want to do things our own way. We want to do things according to our own plans. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But we like to do things our own way. We like, did you watch the news? And what we have now is your truth and my truth. Jesus said, he is the truth. There's only one truth. Your truth and my truth, both of them cannot be true. And sin is when we want to live our own way. Sin is when we want to create our own truth. And sin is when we want to live the life that we want to live rather than the life that God wants us to live. And there's three ways that sin fundamentally affects us, and it's all negative. Because when the Bible says, you know, that the wages of sin is death, that doesn't mean that when we do something wrong, we die straight away, but that we die in our relationship with God. Another way we die is we die in our emotions, because sin, even those who choose to live a different lifestyle than the one God calls us to do, they crave for affection. They crave for attention. We crave for affection and attention. And even when we do things wrong, we want people to tell us it's right and it's okay. So we die emotionally, and we also die spiritually, because the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus in Romans 6, verse 23, following the wages of sin is death. So the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, and we need to understand that there's a spiritual death that takes place. That means that we will be separated from God for all eternity, which is absolutely dreadful, because when you think about it, we were created by God to have a relationship with him. I have three children, and myself and my wife decided to have children. We want them to be in relationship with us, and we love them as God loves us, but when they do things wrong, there's a consequence that affects the relationship. It doesn't mean we don't love our children when they do wrong and they don't live according to the life that we want them to live, but it does bring tension. It brings separation in our relationship. And even as young children, when young children do something wrong, you know they've done something wrong when you walk into the room and they're hesitant and they're reluctant. And that's not something new. We see that in the very beginning when God walked with Adam and Eve, and in the first breakdown of the relationship with God because of sin, because of disobedience, they hid from God. They didn't want to be with God, because that's what sin does. It affects us in three ways. And how does God deal with it? Well, he gives us a gift. I am so glad that the Bible doesn't say we earn eternal life because I couldn't do it. You know, I'm a pastor, I'm a leader, I try to do my best, but you know and I know, here's a bit of a heads up, but don't tell anybody, I sinned yesterday. I sinned today, and the truth is, I'll probably sin tomorrow. And it's probably not going to be one of the big sins, you know, that everybody notices and has a destructive effect on everybody around me. But, you know, even a white lie, even hatred in my heart, ouch, hatred in my heart. That you allow yourself to be hateful towards somebody. You know, Jesus said that's like murder. So I'm so glad that the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life. And I just want to, in summing up, I just want to bring you to Luke chapter 15, verse 24. And it's a parable called the prodigal son. And it's a story to illustrate a truth that Jesus told and is written in the Bible for us to have an understanding of God. And so many of you will know the story of the prodigal son, and we talk about it today, the prodigal, and there's many books and many insights into it. And I'm just going to sum up what I've been talking about today just in these last few minutes. The prodigal son, the son goes to his father, a loving, caring father. He has a brother. He's in a family. He has a lovely lifestyle. He comes and he says to his father, I want my inheritance now. And what he's basically saying to his father is, I wish you were dead. Because when you're dead, I get all of this. And what he was saying was, I want to do what I want to do without any relationship with you. And the father gives him what he wants. He gives him his inheritance while he's still alive. The loving, caring father. And the son goes off and he ends up doing things his way. He creates his truth and he has a new life. You remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, this man created his life. He created his truth and he created his way. And it all come tumbling down and he ends up living literally in a pigsty. Then the Bible says he comes to his senses. He realizes and he sits there in this pigsty. He realizes all the choices he made is wrong. His way is wrong. His life is not what he wants it to be. And he says, do you know what? I'm going to go back to the Father. And he goes back to the Father and he's thinking and he's bringing up excuses. And then he comes to the conclusion, I'm just going to come to the Father and I'm just going to say, Father, do you know what? I was wrong. You were right. You know what? Just make me a servant. Accept me as a slave because that's better than the life that I'm living now. And then the Bible tells us, because Jesus is giving us an insight into the heart of God, our Heavenly Father. And that insight is wonderful. Because we don't have a Father sitting or working or continuing in life as if nothing has happened. We see a picture of a Father standing on the veranda looking out to the roadway, to the path that leads to him. Every night, the way that leads to the Father, the truth that brings us to the Father, the life that the Father has. And he sees his son afar and he runs to him and he embraces him and he forgives him and he calls for a feast and he kills the fattened calf and he says, my son was dead, but now he's alive. Let's rejoice and have a celebration and have a party because my son is now back and he's never going to leave me again. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what this parable is about. That God wants to give you eternal life. You just have to turn. That's what repent means. To turn around, realize, listen, come on, I'm not going to spend time convincing you that this world we live in is a pigsty, where everything that's going on in the moment, in the media, with the pandemic, with exploitation, with racism, with sexual deviancy going on. We live in a pigsty. But right now, you can make a decision. I said at the very beginning, and you probably thought it was a strange thing to say, you can choose life over death, and you can make a choice right now. And the choice is repent, to turn back, to turn away from your way, your truth, your life, and come to Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Life eternal. Jesus said, I've come to give life and give life in all its fullness. And we're going to take a moment right now, and you can decide, you can make a choice. Death or life. And you know, I prayed this prayer 32 years ago. I was in a flat in the north inner city of Dublin. I was involved in drugs. I was involved in criminality. I was living with a girl. We had a young son who was 1 year old. I was 18 years old. And I made the decision there and then. I turned. I said a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, please help me. I knew I could no longer live like this. I knew I was living in a pigsty. And a miracle took place in my life. I crossed over from the wages of sin, which is death, to the free gift of God, which is eternal life. Let me just pray as we close. Lord Jesus, I just pray for anybody listening, whether on the phone or whether at home or whenever they're listening to this right now. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would open their eyes and they would know how high and wide and deep is your love for them. And they would make a decision to come back to you. You who are our heavenly loving Father. And they would repent and come to you and receive life and life in all its fullness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Again, I just want to thank Dave and Bev for the opportunity and the leaders. It's a pleasure to be in the building with you and to be in the church today. And we just pray that God would continue to bless you through the ministry of Dave and Bev and everybody that's taken part in helping out through the pandemic. And I personally want to thank Dave and Bev because I've been watching you guys online and I want to thank you for all your work, for all the work he's doing behind the scenes to bring God's word, not just to us as believers, but to get it out there that everybody would hear and know that God has a plan and purpose for your lives. Thank you and God bless you.